Tonight I want to talk about Enoch that's mentioned in that passage. And did you know there are actually two Enochs in the Bible? We meet one Enoch in Genesis 4 verse 16. The Bible says, "Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch." The second Enoch mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 5:18. "Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he had begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. The last verse in the Old Testament about Enoch says this, "And Enoch," that's verse 24, "and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." What a great epitaph for a man of God. I was down last Saturday working on the grave of my grandparents. They've got a shared grave down in Sydney, down there at Randwick Cemetery. And I guess the wind and maybe even the salt that comes up from the sea has eroded the face of the grave. And so we got another plaque, and I was down there with my nephews and nieces, and I was putting on another plaque in that grave. Amazing what mobile phones can do. I needed a level, and my niece said, "I've got a level." And do you know where it was? It was in a mobile phone. And so I put the mobile phone on, and it showed me a green when I got it right level. And it is incredible what mobile phones can do these days. But we put an epitaph there. And I don't know if you've ever read some funny epitaphs that are on graves. Here's a couple for you. "Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake, stepped on the gas instead of the brake." Apparently that's in a Pennsylvania cemetery. Anna Hopewell, her grave is in Vermont in America. "Here lies the body of our Anna, done to death by a banana. It wasn't the fruit that laid her low, but the skin of the thing that made her go." What about Emily White? "Here lies the body of Emily White. She singled left and then turned right." Poor Emily White. And one more. "Here lies the body of Marianne Brown. At death she weighed 400 pounds. But now in sweet repose she rests, in peace and joy on Abram's breast." Now apparently a little boy added something to that epitaph, and it said this: "It may be sweet for Marianne, but it's awful tough for Abraham." Well, Enoch has a great epitaph, verse 24. "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Do you know, Enoch had the privilege of being taken away before the worldwide flood. Genesis 5 verse 21, again, "Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. There was a change in his life at the age of 65. One of the big changes was he had a son called Methuselah. Now, if you've had children, there's a big change, isn't there? I've been in 4 delivery wards. Very hard being in a delivery ward. I found it very hard. But Judy found it a lot harder than I did. But, you know, when you have a child, life changes. And perhaps the birth of the child changed Enoch. Perhaps he began thinking about eternal things. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. So the birth of his son is at age 65. There is a change for him. And then there's a major change because he begins to walk with God. Methuselah's name means when he dies, judgments. So he named a child Methuselah, which indicated that judgment was coming. Enoch, I believe, knew that judgment was coming upon the world because of man's sin. Twice in the Old Testament, we're reminded that Enoch walked with God. You find that in verse 22, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. Verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Not only do we have an epitaph in the Old Testament about Enoch, but the New Testament writes about Enoch as well. If you go to Hebrews 11 there, verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In the early verses of Hebrews 11, we're presented with three men of faith. Abel. In Abel's life, we see faith worshipping. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Enoch's life, we see faith walking. Verse 24, Enoch walked with God. And in Noah's life, in verse 7, we see faith working. His faith worked out in preaching to the lost and also in building the ark. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Well, if we think of those three men, we think of the first one, Abel had worshipping faith. If you're a lover of the Lord Jesus, you need to worship him. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. In John 4, God is spirit, Jesus said, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The psalmist wrote, O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Worshipping faith with Abel. Walking faith with Enoch. Paul said this, if you're a Christian, he's writing to the Christians at Galatia, and he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Verse 25 of Galatians 5, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. As we walk with God, God's word and not the world must be our guide. When Paul wrote to the Romans, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we know that the psalmist in Psalm 1 wrote a lot about walking as well. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law of the Lord he meditates. He does meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. There's a worshipping faith, there's a walking faith, and there is a faith that is a working out faith, and we see that in Noah's life. Well, Enoch's name means dedicated one, and he definitely lived up to his name. There came a day, as I mentioned before, that Enoch decided to walk with God. I wonder, was there a day when you decided to walk with God? Was there a day when you understood that Jesus Christ was your saviour. I know that there are children that are brought up in Christian homes, and for instance, my own daughter, she can't actually pick a day when she came to know Christ as saviour. But she knows that Jesus is her saviour. I wonder, was there a day when you acknowledged that Christ was your saviour? I wonder, was there a day when you acknowledged that he's your saviour and that you decided that you would actually walk with him, that you'd follow him, that you'd obey his word, that you'd obey the leading of the Holy Spirit? Well, in Enoch here, not only do we have a walking faith, but Enoch had a witnessing faith. And I believe we need to do the same. In Jude 14, we have Enoch mentioned. And it says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." I believe that if you read about Enoch, Enoch was the first second coming preacher in the Bible. The first second coming preacher. "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment." That's what Enoch said. The seventh man from Adam, all those years ago, knew about the first coming, was the first man to preach the second coming of the Lord Jesus. He preached judgment. He preached second coming before the flood in an ungodly world that he lived in. Have you ever thought about Enoch's world? You know, Enoch lived in an age of intelligence. When you think about it, Adam was made perfect, and Adam was made in the image of God, and he and Eve had great intelligence. And I believe there's been a real decline in human intelligence. If you looked at the first Adam and the first woman, Eve, going down through history, there's actually been a decline. Why? Because of sin. But if you go back, I've been to Egypt. I've seen the pyramids. And thousands of years ago, they knew how to build the pyramids. I haven't figured out how they got the stones up there. I mean, some people have got theories on how they did it. But the pyramids, an incredible example of the intelligence of man thousands and thousands of years ago. Do you know, if you go to the pyramids today, they'll tell you that those pyramids were actually all covered in limestone. The pyramids at Cairo there, when we take photos now, we see them stepped with big blocks, but they're actually all covered. And if you look right up in the tip of the pyramid at Cairo, you'll see just a little bit of a resemblance of the covering that they had of limestone. Apparently they just used to shine out in the desert, these beautiful limestone-covered pyramids. How did they do it? I don't know. But they had great intelligence. Enoch lived in a day of intelligence. He lived in a day of progressiveness. If you read in Genesis chapter 4, you'll read about some of the things that people did. It says in verse 20, "And Adar bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and the flutes." Way back there, they had the knowledge of how to make harps and flutes. "And for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah." So he lived in an age of intelligence and progressiveness, but unfortunately he also lived in an age of immorality. Genesis chapter 4 talked to us about the spread of a godless society. In Genesis 4 verse 8 we see the first murder. In Genesis 4 we see also the corruption of marriage. Genesis 4:19 says, "Then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Adar and the name of the second was Zillah." We see another killing in Genesis 4 verse 23. And in Genesis 4 to 6, you will read of numbers of similarities with our society today. An age of intelligence, an age of progressiveness, and also an age of immorality. When we get to Genesis 6 verse 5, we read, "Then The Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great, this is after Enoch, in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Then the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So we see prior to the flood, the earth was filled with violence. I believe that probably second coming preaching was rare in Enoch's day, just like it is today. We also see not only the corrupt world there, but we see that in that corrupt world that Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. And we should have a testimony today that we please God, that we serve God. There should be something different about us. In the corrupt world that we live in today, people should be able to look at your marriage. People should be able to look at your life. People should be able to look at how you work, and they should see that there's something different about you. He had this testimony, Hebrews 11 verse 5, that he pleased God. So if we think about Enoch, he had a walking faith, he had a witnessing faith, and he had a pleasing faith. And the truth is that we need more people like Enoch today. How does the faith of Enoch come? Well, the Bible says this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are to increase our faith by coming to God's word, hearing God's word, reading God's word, and doing God's word, acting out what God's word says to each of us. Enoch, after 65, it was a major change in his life. The birth of a son and a walk with God. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. One more thing. Enoch was miraculously removed before the judgment of the flood. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So here is a man that lived before the flood, but he was taken away by God before God judged the world. And when I think about Enoch, I think about the bride of Christ today. The world is due for judgment. There is going to be an antichrist that's going to come upon this world. The Bible indicates that there's going to be 7 years of tribulation, where God is going to pour out his anger on this sin-filled world. But the Bible also indicates that he's going to remove God's people. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. God, I believe, is going to remove his church, the bride of Christ, before the tribulation period. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He removed him before the flood. I wonder, do you know, there might be some of us in this room that won't get a chance to have an epitaph on a grave. Why not? Because we won't have a grave, there'll be no need for it. Why won't we need a grave? Because the Lord is going to come, and it could be in our age, it could be even tomorrow, when the Lord Jesus breaks into the clouds there and he calls his people up, the bride of Christ, to come home before he pours out his judgment on this earth. And maybe that mightn't happen for 100 years. And then we might need to start thinking about our epitaphs. What is going to be on our epitaphs if we get buried? Are we going to have a testimony that we walked with God? And you know, I think it's a good thing if you decide that you're going to be buried, put some sort of witness for God. When I was a council worker in Baulkham Hills, I'm working amongst the grave. I did say I was working. I was working amongst the grave and I was looking. And there was one grave that stuck out, and it was just a lady's grave that said, "Forever with the Lord." Forever with the Lord. There is a silent witness in that graveyard of a person that trusted the Lord Jesus. Let's have a worshipping faith. Let's have a walking faith. And let's have a faith that works out as we seek to serve the Lord Jesus, our Saviour.